I saw my first psychiatrist in 1965 in Saskatchewan. If I had entered the mental health system in 1965 in any other Canadian province, or even 10 years earlier in Saskatchewan, there's a good chance that I would have been put away in Saskatchewan Hospital, North Battleford, and 20 years later, after I'd lost my independent living skills, I'd have been deinstitutionalized. Because of the stage of mental health services at the time I accessed them, my life has been quite different. It was marked by long, but temporary, stays in general hospitals and occasionally psychiatric wards. Dr. McCarricker, the dean of the new College of Medicine at the University of Saskatchewan, was pushing education and continuing education to encourage general practitioners to become frontline mental health workers. The availability of psychiatric nurses and social workers through community mental health clinics was important in offering education, support, and access to more intense services as needed. In 1971, when the Weyburn Hospital was officially closed and the population at the North Battleford Hospital reduced, the government returned $50 million from the mental health budget to general revenues, $50 million in 1971. If that saving on hospitalizations had been spent on foundations for community services, including housing, employment support, programming, and skilled, compassionate support systems made up of professionals and peer support, deinstitutionalization would not have become a recipe for poverty, isolation, and constant struggle. Of course, when the base budget is significantly reduced in 1971, the percentage increases for the next years never catch up the initial shortfall. In my first 20 years in the deinstitutionalized mental health system, I probably cost the system more than $1 million in doctor visits and hospitalizations. When I received the correct diagnosis and began appropriate therapy for dissociative disorder, I still had hospitalizations and doctor and therapy visits, but my cost to the system decreased as I learned to cope and began to heal. With the support of private services, I have not been in the hospital for 10 years. The saving to the mental health system has been significant. The cost to me is also significant. Today, in 2014, at the age of 66, I pay for the counseling, the bodywork massage, and support that I require. Because my diagnosis, dissociative identity disorder, was not recognized by the PhD psychologist at the mental health clinic and has been doubted and ignored by my psychiatrist, I have had to seek private services. This causes economic hardship for me. Because I could not sustain regular employment, my Canada pension plan is less than $200 a month, so that my joint OAS-CPP check is just under $1,000 a month. Fortunately, I get a cut rate from my therapist. She calls it a volume discount. But weekly sessions take $300 out of my income, and my body energy therapist costs $120 per month. Add the medications for diabetes and high blood pressure and for health food supplements, and my pension income supports my mental and physical health, without a lot left over for nutrition. I do live in subsidized public housing, so my rent is 30% of my income. Fortunately, at this point, I continue to take contracts to supplement my income, and the sale of the house I bought, against everyone's advice when I was on welfare, allows me to pay my bills. I am currently finishing the third round of editing my memoir, Beyond Endurance, based on letters to my therapist during 2013 that deal with the extreme abuse of my childhood and the process of therapy that is allowing me to live a full and interesting life.